You're listening to a sermon audio from Cypress Church. You can listen to more sermons on our website or by subscribing to our podcast on iTunes. We hope you enjoy the sermon and invite you to attend one of our services at 9 and 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings.
Good morning, Cypress Church. It's good to have you here today. I'm Terry Lambert, one of the staff people at church. So glad to be with you. I want you to know that I'm well aware that Pittsburgh is already playing. Yeah, I hear you. But we will move things along so that maybe you get in on the end of it. I don't know. You'll get in on the next game. Mark Zuckerberg, who is the CEO of Facebook, gave a speech, a talk about 2 years ago where one of the facts that he mentioned was that the average Facebook user uses Facebook about 50 minutes a day. Nielsen ratings, the people who do the television thing, they estimated at the same time frame, 2016, that the average adult watches 5 hours of TV per day. Mayo Clinic, same year, estimated that the average adult needs about 7 to 9 hours of sleep a day, and the average teenager needs about 8 to 10 hours a day. So if you put all that together, it kind of looks like this. If you spend an hour on Facebook, 5 hours watching TV, 7 hours sleeping, 9 hours working in your day, 1 hour commuting back and forth to work, which is not uncommon here in Southern California, and then 1 hour a day eating 3 meals, that adds up to 23 hours a day. So that leaves you with 1 hour to do personal bathing and hygiene, to unload the dishwasher and wash and dry clothes, to care for your children, to feed your children, to getting children off to school, to getting teenagers up in time for school, to resolving family arguments, resolving the next door neighbor's loud stereo, making beds, emptying trash, vacuuming rooms, grocery shopping, clothing shopping, gift shopping, filling the car's gas tank, washing the car, paying bills, reconciling your checkbook, and then answering emails and texts. Only an hour. We all know that's a little facetious. But the point is, our days are full. And we are continuing this series called Life Hacks because life sometimes gets a little difficult and even at times can be overwhelming. A life hack is something that is like a shortcut that takes something that's complicated and makes it just a little simpler. And in terms of what we're dealing with here, God has created a lifestyle for us that may be a little more simple than sometimes we find it. That's what we want to pursue, is what is God intending for us? What are the life hacks that he gives us that can help us through that daily grind, through the daily stuff that we all deal with? Well, today we're going to take up a specific topic of work. The thing that I just mentioned that most of us spend about 8 hours a day doing, not counting the commute. But work occupies a lot of our time. And so the point becomes, what does Scripture have to say about work? What is it about work that makes it so difficult sometimes? What is it that, how should we respond to our work? That's what we want to spend some time talking about. Now, this is an important topic to me because throughout church history, in my estimation at least, there has not been enough said about this. The early church fathers were dealing with important issues such as the deity of Jesus, transubstantiation, how to do the Eucharist. They were dealing with the Trinity and all kinds of things that were very important and needed to be cared for. But as I have looked into it, there's not been much said about work throughout centuries. But in the last 50 years or so, some of the theologians are beginning to tackle this problem and are writing about what is the scriptural standpoint, what is God's perspective about this thing that we all spend so much time doing. I also have a background in business. I started my career in the ministry. I was in 2 different churches, one in Iowa and one here in Southern California. But God then redirected my career. And I did an MBA at the University of Southern California, the University of Southern California, the greatest university in all of Southern California, let alone the universe, unless you went to Biola. But the point was, I then was had a career at AT&T, Pacific Telephone, during, you know, all that merger and change and so on. I did a project for Toyota. I was under contract with them for 4 years. That launched some other projects with Nissan, with General Motors, with Kia. And my last one was with J.D. Power, where I was calling on dealerships, offering them a service that J.D. Power had, that they could compare their sales products, their sales, what they were accomplishing with their sales, with their marketplace, so that they could see how they were doing. All this to say, business is important to me, and particularly work, as we look at what God has done to create work for us. What is so important about that? So from that standpoint, we want to take a look at this important topic of work. Sometimes it gets a little frustrating. Sometimes it looks like this. It's just like, what's next? What can I deal with? And I'm sure that maybe some of you can relate. Anybody relate to this? Yeah, some of you. Some of you are not telling the truth. I get that. Sometimes it looks, you wish you could be like this guy, where it's just like, if I just had more time or more arms or more something, I could get it done. And sometimes it feels like this little guy, where we are just tackling more than what we were capable of doing. George Orwell gave this quote that kind of sums up this, where he said, let's face it, our lives are miserable, laborious, and short. And sometimes it feels that way. In fact, Scripture even addresses that to a certain extent, where it says in Ecclesiastes 2:23, for all his days are full of sorrow, his work is a vexation, even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. This is from Ecclesiastes, a book that's thought to have been written, it says at the outset, by the preacher. Most of us understand that to be King Solomon. And near the end of his life, he summarizes so many things, and this is one of his conclusions, that work can be kind of tough. It can be a vexation. But that's not all that Scripture has to say about work. What we want to take a look at this morning is, what is Scripture, what is God intending for our work? What is this about that we spend so much time doing? Does God care? I would suggest to you that after today, you'll see he cares very much. He cares about what we're doing, about how we get things done. So I want to talk from that standpoint and deal with four purposes of work. To begin with, though, let's get a little bit of a definition here of what we're talking about work. I'm going to use work in the broadest sense of the word. Sometimes work is thought of as separates. There's sacred work and there's spiritual work. Or sacred work and physical work or everyday work. We're going to look at it in the broadest sense of the word, that work is what we do as an activity. Here's a definition that we'll use. It's purposeful activity intended to accomplish a task. Purposeful activity intended to accomplish a task. So whatever it is, the task that's in front of us, if we've got purposeful activity intended to get that done, that's what we're going to think of as work. So in the broadest sense of the word. We're going to look at these four purposes then and talk in terms of what are they, a so what, it's like why are they important, and then a now what later in this message in terms of what do we do about it, where do we go from here. So let's dive in. First purpose. The first purpose of work is that people were created for work. In Genesis 1:1, you know the verse, God created the heavens and the earth. The very first thing that God does in history is to create history and the universe. And then in chapter 2, verse 2, he identifies that creation as work, that he did it and it was good. God created man in his image. So therefore, because God works, he created man in his image, we are intended to work also. You'll see this more specifically in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, which says, the Lord God took this man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. So from the very outset, God intended that man was going to work. And he gave him a task to do, something not just to occupy his time, but something that he was able to do as work, to be the tender, to be the caretaker of the Garden of Eden. So from the very outset, God created man to do work. This is an event that took place before the fall. Some people think work is a result of the curse. It's not. This work was done and was given to Adam before the curse. Now, don't misunderstand me. The curse impacts our work. There's no doubt about it. But work was intended to be something that mankind could do, that God had created him for. And so consequently, the curse has impacted that ability. But God intended from the very outset that mankind would work and that we would be able to do that from that standpoint. So what's the so what to this? The so what is that we are to work faithfully. Because we will fulfill our original purpose if we work in a faithful manner, the original purpose that God created us for. Matthew 25 has the parable about the talents. And in there, it identifies this issue of faithfulness. In verse 20 and 21, it says, "And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.'" So the point becomes we're created for work, but God is asking us to do it faithfully and using the parable as an example to illustrate that. We'll talk a little more about what does faithfulness look like in a few minutes. But understand, this is what God's intended for us from the outset, to work and to do it faithfully. Purpose number 2. People fulfill personal calling through work. People fulfill personal calling through work. Many Christians think about a calling as being called into a ministry or into more spiritual kind of work. But Paul doesn't limit it to that. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." The word works in here is actually the Greek word ergon. And in the broadest sense of the term, it means anything like a business or an employment or something that we are giving our attention to as a task. So the word is used throughout the New Testament in many different arenas. For instance, Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." That's the same word. Mark 13:34 says, it's another parable where servants are put in charge of different kinds of work and they're asked to execute that work. Same word. John 5:36, it talks about the works of the Father. This is more sometimes what we think in terms of ministry or spiritual works, but it's the same word that's being used to describe the other kind of work. 1 Timothy 5:10, Paul is talking to women and suggesting and encouraging them to have a reputation for good works. Same word. And then in Hebrews 4:4, it reiterates what was done at the outset in creation, where God created and rested on the 7th day from his works. Same word. So the point is, from the New Testament standpoint, this word work is in its broadest sense, not unlike what we have been talking about. And so there's no differentiation between necessarily spiritual work or what we would call as secular work. It's all the same from God's standpoint. But Paul is saying in the passage in Ephesians that we have a personal calling for this. God, before creation, as he was thinking about us and putting us together, gave us a mission, gave us a purpose that's individual to us. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty awesome from my standpoint, that the God of the universe is paying enough attention to me and to who I am, even before I'm born, that he's created a purpose for me to accomplish in my lifetime. Well, what's the so what to this? The so what is to work faithfully, to fulfill and accomplish what Father God has intended for us. Imagine what it's like when he gives us and pays attention to us from that standpoint. Purpose number three. People add value through their work. People add value through their work. What we're talking about here is taking resources or raw materials and through our work creating something better or something more than what we had at the outset. This verse is referred to back in that same chapter, the talents parable, where in verse 20 it says, "And he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here, I have made five talents more.'" So he was given the raw materials, if you will, of five talents, and then through his work, leveraged it, increased it, made it five talents more. And as a result, the master called him, "Good, you've done a good job. Thank you so much." We don't deal with talents in our society. It's a means of measuring money and value in Jesus' day. So let me give you a couple of examples of what I think adding value looks like. If you're a teacher, your students are better, more knowledgeable after you have taught. If you're a machinist, your object is more purposeful after you've worked on it. If you're a retail associate, your transaction gives the customer a good product and a good experience. If you're a manager, your subordinates are better equipped workers because of your influence. If you're a homemaker, your family is able to live their lives and do their work well. If you're a student, you're learning what you need to prepare for life. Those, I think, are vivid examples of what adding value would look like in our day and age. So what's the so what here? The so what is to work faithfully so that we are doing our best to add value. Purpose number four. People build intimacy with God through work. People build intimacy through their work, build that intimacy with God. What are we talking about here? Intimacy is not typically thought of in line of work. It's just not necessarily related. But we're talking about intimacy with God. So what does it look like to build intimacy with God through our work? Well, there's a passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 24 and 25 that give us some perspective on this. It says, "There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment?" As we mentioned, King Solomon, this is at the end of his life, wisest man that's lived, and he is saying that even our work is from Father God. He's saying that even finding enjoyment is from the hand of God. So if we can recognize that, then we will thank him and praise him when our work is going well. If we can recognize that, we will also go to him asking for wisdom, direction, and solutions if our work is not going well. Either way, our work can be the reason why we are calling on and communing with God. And consequently, our relationship with him will grow and become more intimate. That's what he desires. He's created work for many purposes, but one is he would like it to drive us to him, that we are more intimate with him. So what's the so what? I'll bet you can't guess, can you? Yeah, fine. Working faithfully so that we constantly are in a relationship with Father God about our work. He wants it, he desires it, and he's given us the gift of work, the gift of even it going well, so that it will drive us to him. So those are the four purposes. There's, I'm sure, more, but the ones that I would like to identify this morning. But let's talk about this issue that we brought up many times, that about what does working faithfully look like. Another verse in Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 10, has some input on this, where it says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going." Sheol is used in a broad sense of the word in the Old Testament to describe anything from the grave to Hades. And Solomon's not saying when you go to Hades, because not everybody goes there. But what he is saying is, once you die and you're buried, you don't have another opportunity to work. So work with your might at this point while you still have time. So that's what Solomon is suggesting as advice, as a proverb at the end of his life. It's kind of like maybe this. If you look at this visual, giving 100%. Whatever you do, always give 100%, unless you're donating blood. There is a limitation, right? But working faithfully is more like this, where they've got this little guy. He's got a big task in front of him. He's got a big basketball that's obviously too big for him. But by the look on his face, you can see that he is determined. He is going to give this task the best effort that he can do. And that's what God is asking of us in being faithful, to give it our best effort. That's what Solomon is surmising at the end of his life. Give it the best effort that you can give for whatever purpose that you're trying to accomplish. Here are some examples of the ones that we've already mentioned. If you're a teacher, you do your best so that your students are better, more knowledgeable after you've taught. If you're a machinist, you do your best effort so that your object is more purposeful after you've worked on it. If you're a retail associate, you give it your best effort so that the transaction gives the customer a good product and a good sales experience. If you're a manager, you give it your best effort so that your subordinates are better equipped workers because of your influence. If you're a homemaker, you give it your best effort so that your family is able to live their lives and do their work well. If you're a student, you give it your best effort so that you are learning what you need to do to prepare for life. It's all about attitude. God gives us different things to do. We all have different gifts. We all have different callings. But God is asking all of us to do it faithfully. It's an attitude as we approach our work. And what he's asking of us is not necessarily the specific outcomes. He's asking of us that we give it our best effort. That is what will give him glory. That is what will be a worship experience for us, even in our work. So faithfulness doesn't guarantee the outcomes. I'm sure you already know that. But a lack of faithfulness is going to definitely influence the outcomes. So let's talk about the now what. Now what? What as we go forward? Well, I have one thing that I would like to suggest to you, and it coincidentally is timed during this series of life hacks. On February 23rd, we will be participating in a conference that's called Work as Worship. The purpose of it is to explore how to connect our work with our faith, or actually to connect our faith with our worship. So I would like to invite you to this conference. Again, February 23rd, a Friday. It will be here in our own church. We will be streaming the conference from Dallas. It will be held from 7:30 in the morning till 2:30 in the afternoon. And we'll have a number of speakers, some of which may be familiar to you. One of my favorites is Patrick Lencioni. He is the CEO and president of a group called The Table Group, a consulting firm. He wrote a book that some of you may have heard of, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. Another one that's my favorite is Three Signs of a Miserable Job. Yeah. John Manby will also be one of the speakers. He's the president and CEO of SeaWorld. Norm Miller, chairman of Interstate Batteries. Wendy Davidson, who's the president of the U.S. Specialty Channel for Kellogg. So the cost is only $25. And I would draw your attention to an insert that's in your bulletin that gives more details and a website that you can register. We will be having it here in our own church. You'll be able to participate. Lunch will be provided. But I would encourage you to come and explore with these people who have been dealing with this issue of their work as worship for a long time and get their perspective. It will maybe be a chance for God to speak to you in things that you need to understand or that you want to understand or questions that you've had in the past. So I'd encourage you to take advantage of that. You can register online with the information that's there in the insert. So work has a purpose. We've identified four this morning: that we were created for work, that we work to fulfill a personal calling, that we work to add value, and that we work to become more intimate with God. Our task then is to work faithfully, to give it our best effort as we exercise our work. These four purposes show us not only how significant we are to God, but how we fit into His economy. So hopefully the message has prompted some thinking on your part. Hopefully that you've got some ideas that are running around. I'm going to ask you to spend 30 seconds, maybe 40, and on your notes, jot down what you're thinking about. What is Father God maybe speaking to you about right now in relationship to your work? What is it that you don't want to forget? Or what questions do you have that you want to address in your own work as you go forward? So I'm going to be quiet for 30 seconds. Write down what it is on your notes that you would like to remember going forward. As the worship team comes back to close our service, imagine what could happen if we all embraced these four purposes tightly. Imagine what could happen in our workplace if we were working faithfully, giving it our best effort. Imagine what that would look like. There's a song that many of you learned when you were young and sang it in Sunday school. This little light of mine goes like this. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. If you know the song, and it's not hard to pick up on, but you gotta do the motions, okay? So everybody, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine in my workplace. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine in my workplace. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Father God, as we have seen this morning, you have created us and created us for work. You have purposes for each of us that we need to discover and pursue. You've asked us to add value. But most importantly, you have asked us to be faithful and to give our work our best effort. So as we go forward from this point, I'm asking that you will help us tomorrow morning to think of that, even if it's the little song, that we will see ourselves not just a worker, but a worker who is glorifying you through the talents, through the capabilities, and through the task that you have given us. Thank you for this privilege. It's in your name we pray. Amen.